Good afternoon. All right, calling case 82843, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department versus Holland. Counsel, are you ready to proceed? All right, let's go. Mr. Schwartz, would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
5 minutes, please.
When the first bell rings, that'll be your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
May it please the court, Daniel Schwartz on behalf of the appellant, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and Conan Cochran Management Services. We're here today basically on a case that went through the order, the Court of Appeals. They issued a decision. It was requested that it be published, and we're before this honorable court now. The case is interesting, at least in my opinion, because we obviously have a Court of Appeals decision that we can look at as to what they felt was important and what they felt was the issues. I'm just going to briefly touch on those. I don't believe the facts are in any real dispute. Mr. Holland was a Metro officer. He has the number of years in, so that's not an issue. He retired in 2012. In 2019, he suffered two heart attacks. So he has obviously a disease of the heart, so that part of the statute is met. He was disabled by his doctor in 2019, so that third part of the statute has been met. It seems as if the main focus is on Section 11, the predisposing conditions section. A couple things I wanted to point out and cite you to the record on appeal. From 2012 to 2019, we have no medical records, none. We don't know what Mr. Holland did or didn't do. In 2011, 2012, when he underwent his annual physicals, he was actually given a letter that specifically showed that the employer, as required by the NAC, sat down with him, discussed with him what to do, and that main thing what to do was to go see a doctor. If you read the NAC, there is no provisions in there for the employer in this situation to prescribe medication. There's no provision in there for the employer to say, we're going to send you to X doctor. So really, in all of these annual physical type cases, all the employer can do and what the Nevada Administrative Code says is say, here's what your issue is. You need to correct it or risk having your claim denied should you ever file one.
Where in the record, and I'm interested in actual page sites, is it established that he had the ability to correct the moderately elevated triglyceride and other blood readings that he had?
There is no affirmative statement in the record that says he had the ability to correct.
Okay, thank you.
And whose burden is it to show that?
That's a very interesting question, and that's really the crux of the case.
Yes.
And the reason why I was going through a few of the facts with Mr. Holland is because it kind of points out our argument. So we did everything we were required to do by statute and by code. And by the way, it's page 73 and 82 specifically where the letters that say go see a doctor. There is no evidence from Mr. Holland that he did anything.
Well, he did go see a doctor because in 2015 he was prescribed medication. Isn't that correct? But he went to see a doctor.
That's correct.
Okay.
Although we don't have those records in the record.
Okay. So we do have medical records that he had high blood pressure, took meds for it.
Correct.
And it was under control.
And the underlying appeals officer didn't rule that he doesn't have a claim, because of the high blood pressure. That was discounted by the underlying appeals officer because we had that one limited piece of information.
I want to circle back to Justice Kadish's question, though, because what is the burden and who has it with respect to his ability to correct the moderately elevated? And I think there's a bit of ambiguity in this record on what he was told and when and what was he supposed to do. But let's focus on the elevated triglycerides and where in this record there's any proof that that was something he could control and that it doesn't, in fact, derive from his job and the stress associated with it, which paragraph one creates a conclusive presumption. And it's your duty, I think, if you're going to overcome a conclusive presumption, to produce direct evidence under Chapter 47, just basic evidence code.
And I don't inherently disagree with the statement that's been made. I think this case is illustrative of why that becomes a problem in a case like this.
Well, couldn't you have produced medical testimony that would say, look, these elevated triglycerides are something that people can control with diet and exercise and so forth? I mean, as judges, we can Google it and look at it, but we'll also find that stress is a factor. And
you'll also likely find that certain medications people had adverse reactions to.
Yep.
You'll find that some people can just diet and it works. Some people can take over-the-counter medications and it works. This case is illustrative, though, of he didn't, as far as we know, he didn't do anything. So.
But he's presumed to be suffering job-related occupational heart disease.
That is correct. How do I get a medical expert? And I don't mean to answer your question with a question. It's more of a statement.
I understand.
How do we get an expert to say that Mr. Holland, because that's really what the Court of Appeals ruled, that Mr. Holland, not Googling on the internet or someone who comes in and says, generically, this is what can be done, and generically, this is what will be done, that Mr. Holland would have been able to control his problems. Ms. Anderson and I have a lot of cases of this nature. Most of them don't get this far because there's medical evidence, because there's testimony from the officer who says, I changed my diet. I exercised more. I took over-the-counter fish oil.
Well, but don't you need to show that he didn't exercise, didn't take fish oil, didn't follow the instructions that were given?
That's what the record shows, with all due respect.
What in the record shows that he did not do those things?
There is nothing in the record to show he did anything.
That's not evidence that he didn't.
Are you relying on the elevated levels to show that he was noncompliant?
Correct. And the fact that in 2019 it was even higher than it was in 2011, 2012.
But can that be accounted for any other way?
Right.
I mean, we know in 2015 he saw a doctor. We don't know if that's the only time he's seen a doctor, but we know he saw a doctor in 2015. We know in 2019 he had a heart episode coming from the gym.
Correct.
So, we know, at least in 2019, we know he's been to a gym. So where do we put that? This is unusual because he was out for 7 years.
Correct.
When this happened. Tell me that.
How would you be able to ascertain what he did or did not do for 7 years to be able to disprove the negative?
And that's partially my point. The Court of Appeals said there's no transcript because I didn't submit it. There's no transcript because there's no transcript. There was no testimony. We did this all on briefs.
There wasn't an evidentiary hearing at any level.
Correct.
Including before the appeals officer.
That is correct. We did the entire case.
Is that a choice or was that not available?
It was a choice that Ms. Anderson and I made, and we've learned over the years that it's not a good choice. Just okay.
I thought I saw.
Ms. Anderson's happy that you're the one making that
decision. Yeah. So let me ask this, though. I thought I saw somewhere in here that when the case was in the administrative proceeding process, that your client made a request for a release for medical records, and I believe that was provided. Was
That's
that
correct.
Followed up on? Did you get his medical records from the doctors he said he had seen?
The only thing we got from the period in between was the information that we submitted to show that he went to see a doctor and he got his high blood pressure taken care of. That's all that came back. There's no other records. Let me rephrase that because I don't want to make a misstatement. No other records were sent back from the providers. I don't know if they exist.
And had you asked him to identify all of the providers he'd seen?
Correct. And he did. He gave us a list, and we sent them off.
Okay.
And again, this is all informally, not in the actual testimonial stage. He gave us a list. We sent that off, probably because of the time lapse that had passed between when he saw those doctors and when this claim actually got to the appeals officer level. Those records were – I'm not making any accusations that – they do or don't exist. I can just tell you we only got back the limited records we produced.
So if we don't know whether he exercised and did other things as recommended or not, and we don't know if he was able to correct these conditions or not, it does just come down to, who has the burden to prove it one way or the other? And if your client has the burden under subsection 11 and there is not evidence in the record to establish its requirements, you lose.
I guess my response to that is when we have someone who does, and again, we have what we have in this case, but when we have someone who does nothing.
How do we know he did nothing?
I'm talking more of the idea of making it my client's burden, which inherently I do not have a giant issue with, just so we're clear.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that I have with that is if you make it my client's burden and someone literally does nothing.
And I'm sorry, does nothing in terms of response in the case, or does nothing in their life?
In their life.
Okay.
Let's say they actually do the opposite. They gain weight. They eat a worse diet.
Okay.
I can't prove, I'm not going to be able to find medical testimony to say that this particular individual wouldn't be one who had the issues with taking cholesterol medication because they didn't try. All I'm asking is that somehow we make it so they have to at least do something.
Wouldn't there be, sorry, over
I'm sorry.
Here. It's okay. I know it's hard sometimes.
I didn't bring my glasses.
I understand. Wouldn't it be possible to get expert testimony that would say, you know, I don't know. If they did these things, then triglycerides would have come down? Or if that's not available, maybe that's a clue that that's not the case.
Yes, except I don't know with Mr. Holland's case if he did those things, because if he took triglyceride medication, people have adverse reactions to that. So if we're saying in the generic, could we get an expert to say that an individual with these levels who did X, Y, or Z, the levels would have come down? Yes.
But can I
say that Mr. Holland would have done that?
But would this be the type of thing that you could suss out at an evidentiary hearing?
Correct.
I guess I have a question this conclusive presumption is an unusual one in a statute, and it's saying that you're conclusively presuming that his stressful employment causes heart disease, and he exhibits symptoms of heart disease with his elevated triglycerides, and then it worsens. But if we start shifting the burden to him to come forward to show that it was a condition that he couldn't correct, then in essence we've cratered the conclusive presumption. And that's troubling to me analytically.
Yeah. Doesn't the exception end up beating the rule?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So we're all clear. I'm not arguing that he has to prove to you that he could do it, or couldn't do it, excuse me. I'm arguing that he has to make an attempt, because that's what the law says.
Make an attempt to?
To do something. To go see his doctor and say, doctor, here's my annual physical. They said I have this problem. What do you tell me? We have seen cases, Ms. Anderson and I, over the years, where people go to their doctor with levels that you wouldn't believe, and the doctor tells them, take fish oil, or you should just watch what you eat.
But the statement is in the statute, if the correction is within the ability of the employee, and there's medical ways to prove that, as well as trial and error by the employee.
And I'm not, just so we're all clear, I'm not saying error. I'm saying trial. If you go to your doctor and your doctor gives you bad medical advice, you tried. If your doctor gives you advice and you try it and it doesn't work, you tried. If you go to your doctor, you tried. He was told twice in 2011, 2012 to go to his doctor. At best, he waited 3 years and went to a doctor to treat a totally different condition.
So when you talk about correction, you're saying it's about the corrective measures and not about correcting the issue. So it doesn't matter if necessarily these would have made his triglycerides go down. He fails if he doesn't try to make them go down.
Okay.
Right. You have about 2 minutes left. Do you want to reserve that?
I'll reserve that if that's okay.
Thank you, sir.
Hi. Thank you. Your Honors, if I may, I'm keeping a glass of water up here. I'm doing the best I can do to project as much as I can project today.
Sure.
So, my name is Lisa Anderson. I represent Officer Holland. So, you know what brings us here? What brings us here is that we have a statute that gives a conclusive presumption to our first responders. And when we do our history and our research, we understand that the reason that we did this is that there used to be a time where every police officer or firefighter in a stressful situation that had a heart attack would have to prove that the heart attack was related to chasing that suspect down the alley or pulling that hose through the fire. And there was research done, and there was a bill that was presented that indicated that this is a higher level of stress of employment that causes these conditions. And instead of forcing the officers and the first responders to prove that this particular instance, when it happened, is directly related to work, it's now conclusively presumed to be related if you've been working for at least 2 consecutive years, if you've participated in those annual physicals, and if you have an actual diagnosis of a disease of the heart. some people think that those three things are easy to prove. They're not. And the heart disease part even becomes problematic when we have diagnoses of high cholesterol, high blood pressure. Those are symptoms. They are not heart disease. So these officers and first responders are still in a position where they have to meet those basics. Once they meet those three things, they have a conclusive presumption. What's happening with this argument about predisposing conditions is we're taking that presumption away. Because we're now adding to that, that the officer has to prove that he did everything in his power to correct a predisposing condition that's identified. Do you know how they get these predisposing conditions identified? An annual physical that is sponsored by their department. So they present to a doctor that's hired by their department to have an annual physical. They refer to it as a fitness for duty physical. So they go in, they have some blood work done, they run on a treadmill, maybe they do a nuclear stress test, and then they are deemed fit for duty. An email or a blue paper is produced afterwards that indicates your cholesterol was 201. Nobody tells them what's normal. Your blood pressure was 140 over 90. They don't tell them what's normal. Sometimes there's a comment at the bottom that says, see your doctor. Sometimes there's live a healthier lifestyle, diet, exercise, eat more white meat. So the officers are never in that particular position told the direness of what's happening, of what the consequence is of doing whatever you think you're supposed to do. Now, sometimes they tell them.
You would acknowledge, though, that in this case in 2008, 10, 11, and 12, I believe, when the gentleman was informed about the triglyceride levels, he was also told this may affect your ability to get benefits under the heart and lung bill.
I do. I believe that the email does say that. Okay. But at the bottom of the email, it says failure to address these conditions could have an effect on your ability to have a heart-lung case. Do you know what's also interesting about this particular case is we've talked about it a little bit already this morning that he retired in 2012 and he doesn't have his heart attack until 2019. The statute that we're relying upon has no requirement for him to have an annual physical post-retirement. It specifically says while you're working. So oftentimes when this happens to them after they retire, there's this mad search. This mad search to find all the medical records that you can find in the meantime. So the 2015 records, I think, are important because they show that the claimant was taking his condition seriously. He went to a doctor. When he went to that doctor, what did that doctor prescribe? He prescribed the high blood pressure medication. That's one of the predisposing conditions. He took the high blood pressure medication, and it affected his blood pressure. There's nothing in those records that indicates that he was prescribed something for his triglycerides or for his weight, other than the normal eat a healthy diet. So now we're putting him in a position where he has to prove that he did what he was supposed to do. The proof is he took the prescribed medication and his one particular condition that doctor was worried about reversed. The statute doesn't require that he correct. It requires that he take it seriously. So what level of seriousness do we put upon it? You can only put upon it the level that is given to him. So in this particular instance, he's not told you need to take this medication or you need to report to a doctor every 6 months or you need to have a follow-up test. It's eat a better diet and address these particular conditions. See a doctor. He saw a doctor in 2015. He took the medication that was prescribed. And he still suffered from his heart attack.
Did he do anything else?
The record doesn't have an implication. There was no question asked, did you diet? Did you do all of these things? We were relying upon the record because we had medical evidence that showed that he had seen a doctor and that he was taking prescribed medication for a predisposing condition and that the first heart attack happened as he was coming from the gym. The argument that was proffered to the appeals officer below and that was re-proffered when we were before the district court judge was that those things are indications of his actions. He took action. So how do you prove then that the action that he was taking was not enough? It says if it's within his control. So if he was going to the gym, then he was taking the necessary actions we can presume to try to lose weight. He took the medication that was prescribed from the doctor in 2015, which again is an indication that when told to specifically do something to address the conditions, he's complying. So it is the claimant's position that you can use the record such as it is to make the initial implication. But you asked a question as to whose burden should it be. If we have a conclusive presumption, how do we put another burden on the officer or the first responder? That burden does have to come back to the insurance company or the employer. There has to be something proffered that indicates that his actions fell short. Now, Mr. Schwartz and I, he's correct. We do this every day, all day. We have a heart-lung case. And we argue every different fact that you can think of, whether somebody did something, whether they did everything, whether they tried red agar, whether they tried red wheat. They try all kinds of things for these predisposing conditions. But where is the burden to show that there was something that they did not do? So it says if it's within their power to reverse it. They never have to cure it.
How would that be proved? How would they shift the burden?
I think there's been some excellent suggestions here today that we have doctors. We all have access to doctors, whether we need to show them at the time that the claim is filed or at the time of the appeals officer hearing, there could be medical evidence that indicates if he had just taken one fish oil pill a day, his triglycerides may have come down. Then you could ask that question, did anybody ever tell you to take fish oil? Did you take fish oil? I mean, we've already discussed the fact that we made a determination together to not put the claimant on the stand, and it's because we were both relying on the record. So both sides decided that the medical evidence that we had before the appeals officer was enough that we could go in and make a legal argument in a written brief about what the standards are and what this particular evidence shows.
Their position is that the fact that the doctor suggested fish oil and low-fat diet itself indicates a belief on the part of the doctor that that would be beneficial and perhaps be a course correct on his
right.
Lab work.
So then we go back to the chart that's in the decision and order. This is over a 5-year period of time before he retires. It is common practice in these cases to go back about 5 years of those physicals, because if you line those numbers up in the chart, you can see the kind of ups and downs that a particular officer takes. Sometimes you will see an arrow straight up, that everything is getting higher. Their cholesterol is getting higher. Their triglycerides are getting higher. Their weight is getting higher. One would probably offer that that means he's doing nothing or that he's not making enough of an attempt. In this particular instance, when you go from year to year on some of these numbers, they go down. So what we argued in front of the appeals officer is, why is that not evidence that what he was doing with his lifestyle was having a positive effect? The next year, maybe it didn't have such a positive effect. But when it goes down, up, down, he's trying. So the argument that we made in our legal brief was that these numbers have to show something, and they have to mean something. So if he's able to affect his numbers to get his cholesterol down between 2008 and 2009, then he would have had a right to assume that he was doing the right thing between 2009 and 2010. He comes back for his physical in 2010. Oops, your numbers are up a little bit. So then he has to take whatever action.
I want to make sure I understand then the record, and I need to maybe go back through the appendix we do have. But the 2015 time period when he saw a doctor and got meds for high blood pressure, were the records of the examination with that doctor in the records before the administrative hearing officers?
Yes, the records that were produced pursuant to the subpoena were before the appeals officer.
And had that, so that, is that a heart doctor that he was seeing?
I think it was, in this particular case, a regular GP that took blood work.
Did they
from
not
him.
Do lab work that would show triglycerides and other cholesterol? I mean, I have to do those every year. Did he have to do that every year?
Yes. Yes, I do think those numbers are represented in the 2015 medical report, and that's when he put him on the high blood
pressure. And the doctor put him on high blood pressure medicine but didn't make other recommendations?
Not that doctor. The recommendations that we're constantly referring
to
in the record.
So he didn't say, oh, my gosh, you know, here, take the high blood pressure medicine, and here's what you need to do to address the triglycerides.
Correct.
Can I ask, are you taking the position that the claimant would never have a burden after establishing the right to the conclusive presumption?
No, what I think should happen is that if competent medical evidence is presented that there are things he could have or should have been doing that would have affected those numbers, I think then it becomes the burden shifts back to him to say, okay, what did you do? So if a doctor presented a report that said taking the fish oil on a daily basis should have brought his numbers down by 30 and instead his numbers went up, then it would be incumbent upon the claimant to then testify, did you take the fish oils religiously? Did you not? What happened to you when you took them? Okay. So
you're seemingly in agreement, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the high level of triglycerides can be a predisposing condition, just that they didn't prove that what was being recommended to him was something that necessarily would have reduced it and was medically necessary to comply with, so you didn't need to put anything else further.
I think that that's correct, that I have no way of saying it's not a predisposing condition. It's on every single form that they do for the physical on the heart check. So while predisposing conditions are not defined in the statute, it doesn't say these six things or these five things. The things that they test for are your good cholesterol, your bad cholesterol, your weight. They ask you if you smoke, your triglycerides, and your cholesterol. So those things are on every single physical across the board for all first responders, no matter who they work for. So I think that we've all just settled into those are the predisposing conditions that are most important.
The reason I was asking that, and it goes back to the question that I was talking to Mr. Schwartz about, you recognize that there's a difficulty from their side. If somebody's gone, as here, for a number of years, their ability to prove what he did or didn't do during that time period is pretty limited. So your focus is more on what did they do original, or what were they pointing to originally from a medical standpoint that would have said, yes, this was absolutely in his control, and clearly he must not have done anything about it, and that they just didn't meet their burden on that, so that you would then have a burden to rebut that in some fashion.
I think for this particular Mr. Holland's case, yes, because those are the actual facts. I mean, we could have a case where they continue, and trust me, I would tell every single one of them to go to a physical every single year, even post-retirement, because you would have a better record. But there was no requirement for him to do that, so we're stuck with the record that we have that we were able to produce for that particular situation. And because the claimant feels that because he had medical evidence that showed he was seeing a doctor outside of the system post-retirement, that he was continuing to be mindful of those situations, and that all that was within his power to do was what those doctors told him to do. So as long as he was able to show that he followed that particular directive, then the burden has to be on the insurer to show that there was something else he should have been doing.
And just to be clear, they keep referencing his weight, and the charts note that he was heavy but not obese, and I didn't see any reference that he needed to lose weight in his records either.
No, I think that he pushed the envelope probably on that particular number, and I also think that these cases become problematic because that number changes all the time. So if the medical board changes what they think is considered obese versus heavy, then it affects the particular officer throughout. So you can see those when you line up 5-10 years of physicals. But that, I think that the main condition that they were worried about while he was employed was the triglyceride level that was going off the charts at some points and was coming down, and then it was going back up. I think that the high blood pressure didn't become a problem until after he retired, but he continued to address what he thought were his conditions and to see a doctor outside of the system and followed those particular instructions.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
What would be the standard that you would articulate to shift the burden to your client in this setting?
I think there has to be a more specific instruction on the physicals. If you have an annual physical that comes back that says, eat a better diet, who's going to monitor that? I mean, I could put my clients up there to say, I stopped eating Big Macs and started eating chicken, and I mean, that would be the testimony. So I do think that the check the box, the standard that they're using, that they have to put something more specific back on the claimant. that you need to follow up, you need to lower this 20 points, you need to, there's absolutely none of that happening in the physicals. They're simply checking the box and telling them to see a private provider. I understand that that doctor and that physical can't tell them and give them medical advice. They probably tell them that first thing, I'm not your treating doctor, I can't give you medical advice, I'm just here to evaluate you. But there has to be more emphasis placed on the medical advice to correct what they are considering to be a predisposing condition instead of sending them away with a blue piece of paper on their own until the next year. I mean, all the officer hears is, I got the go-ahead, I'm back on the job. And then I'll just take care, I feel good, I'll take care of my health. So there has to be a competent medical comment on exactly what should happen. And if he fails to do that, then I think they have an argument. But if he does it and it doesn't work.
Sorry. Is it enough to say, go see your regular doctor to follow up?
I mean, I think I would have to say no, because it doesn't tell them to follow up on what. I mean, what if he just goes into his regular doctor and has a regular doctor's appointment, and the doctor does all that they do, and they don't tell him anything? So if the department, if the system thinks that there's something that he needs to tighten up, they need to be more specific on exactly what their expectation is so that he has something he can move towards.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Does anyone else have any further questions?
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Mr. Schwartz? Mr. Schwartz, I'll give you an additional minute for your rebuttal.
Thank you. I echo many of the things that were just said, and then let's apply it to this case. He wasn't given a pink slip and told at the very bottom, here's what you need to do. He was given a separate letter on two different occasions, the last two annual physicals, from the employer that said, here's your problem, go see your doctor. Ms. Anderson said they need to tighten that up and tell him exactly what his problem is. They told him, among other things, but the only issue today, just so I'm clear, is triglycerides. That's all the appeals officer ruled on. She didn't find the weight to be an issue. She didn't find anything else to be an issue. So all the rest of those comments in that those two letters are not relevant as far as I'm concerned, just simply because they didn't meet the muster, for lack of a better word.
Does the record indicate that lowering 7 years later, after he retires, that lowering his triglycerides were within his control? Does the record say that he could correct his triglycerides?
The 7 year later comment? No.
Okay.
But in
2012,
yes.
Is there evidence that in 2012 he could correct the high triglycerides?
In 2011 and 2012, you have medical opinions from Dr. Joya. Those are the annual physicals. It's a medical doctor who said to Mr. Holland, you have elevated cholesterol. Here is the normal level. It's on the piece of paper. You need to correct this. Failure to correct this could result in your claim being denied. My advice to you is to go see your doctor.
Which of those changes would have affected his triglyceride level as opposed to his cholesterol?
You said cholesterol right there.
I'm sorry. That was my mistake. I told everybody it's just about triglycerides.
What pages in the record do you rely on for what you just said? I'm sorry to delay this.
So page 73.
May I ask a question? So under NRS 617.358, it's a different, there's no presumption in that statute. You have to show by a preponderance of the claimant has to show by a preponderance of the evidence that establishes the disease arose out of the course of the employment. Do you believe that same standard should apply to Section 11, where there's a presumption there that the heart disease was, in fact, caused by the employment? Should that same standard apply?
That the employee has to show that it came from employment?
It's actually the claimant has to show by a preponderance of the evidence under this other statute, 617.358, same statutory scheme, but it doesn't have the presumption. You have to show by a preponderance of the evidence.
I do not think under the heart part of the statute that the claimant, and I'm sorry, it's just a really old term that we try not to use as much anymore. Sounds degrading.
I was just using the statute.
that the claimant has to show that his heart condition came from his employment. I don't believe that's what the statute says. So I'm not arguing that.
And counsel, you had subpoenaed, you got a paltry response to your subpoenas. Had you had an evidentiary hearing, could you have had Mr. Holland testify and ask him questions. What doctors did you see? What happened? You know, how often or what did they recommend? You could have done that, correct?
That's correct.
And you guys elected not to?
We both elected not to, correct.
Okay. Right.
And you could have hired an expert as well to say that he could have done better.
I don't think I could have hired an expert to say that Mr. Holland would have been able to fix his triglyceride levels.
Okay.
Had he done X, Y, and Z, because there's too many variables that no expert can address when he doesn't do anything. And the one last comment, I know I'm done. Please look at the 2015 record. I don't want to disagree with Ms. Anderson, but I don't think it says what she says it says.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schwartz.
Madam Chief, may I ask a quick
question?
I just want to clarify something in regard to the Chief Justice's earlier question about his ability to control the triglycerides. Were you saying in terms of the examining physician's recommendations that because it's an examining physician, it's a doctor, that diagnoses him with an elevated triglyceride level and then says you need to, and if I recall correctly, it was low-fat diet, 1 year it was niacin, and it was also omega-2. That if the doctor is telling you to do those things, implicit in that is the doctor's opinion that you can control this by doing those things.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schwartz.
Thank you.
The matter will stand submitted.